Hey everybody, stay tuned today where I'm talking to Brian about how to manage your cloud operations according to the guidance within the Cloud Adoption Framework. Welcome to the Azure Enablement Show. In this show, we're having technical conversations with Microsoft experts about some of the common questions or obstacles that you might face on your cloud adoption journey. Now, in previous episodes, we covered what the Cloud Adoption Framework is and how it can accelerate your cloud adoption journey. In today's episode, we're actually going to be walking through how to think about your operations when you're in the cloud, according to some of the guidance within the Cloud Adoption Framework. And to have that conversation with me, I'm welcoming back Brian to the show. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome. Now, thinking about operations in the cloud, Brian, is there much difference from that traditional IT operations that our customers are used to?
Well, like most things in the cloud, that kind of depends. You can replicate operations from on-prem to the cloud, but a lot of customers look at the shift and this effort to transform digitally as an opportunity to transform operations as well. And actually, I have a slide that might share a little bit about what that looks like. So let's just switch over to the slide here. And what we see today is that there is a bit of a paradigm shift that we see happening. So in traditional IT operations, it's all about enforcement and control. There's central controlled responsibility. But just like with cars, IT's gotten smarter. Cars now have GPS that help them navigate a little bit better. Like some of them are self-driving. So the role of IT shifts a little bit when that happens. And we focus more on enable and support and really creating freedom and delegated responsibility. So now IT operations focuses more on how do we put in the right infrastructure, the right guardrails, the right controls so that people can drive about as they need and really scale how much you can take through that those systems and those operations.
Now, when I've heard people talking about operations management, I've heard them talk about the Cloud Center of Excellence, Brian. Is that alluding to the kind of operating model that we talked about in previous episodes? Where does that fit in this jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of enabling this paradigm shift. The paradigm shift in operations really equates to a paradigm shift in organization. So in the classic IT world, you would have your central IT standing between the various different workload teams and the data center environment they want to deploy to. And so what we see when we shift to a Cloud Center of Excellence model is a little bit less of that central control, to where cloud adoption efforts, or specifically over on the left, your workload teams, they focus on really deploying to the cloud, building out new innovations, getting them out to the cloud. But to do that, you still need some of that central IT support. So Cloud Center of Excellence is a new way of thinking of providing cloud governance, really building out the cloud platform, putting in automation and security controls so that those workload teams can really approach the adoption of different cloud solutions. And this comes in conjunction with making sure that you're fulfilling your strategy. But the biggest shift in all of this, and the reason why central IT can back out a little bit, is because there's a shift in where cloud operations happens. A lot of organizations that are taking this Cloud Center of Excellence approach actually move cloud operations out of IT and make it more of its own standalone organization. Or maybe it's still inside of IT, but it behaves a little bit differently and gets a lot more of its funding from the line of business and workload teams. And what this causes is a little bit of distinction in cloud operations works. So in a traditional world, cloud operations would be shifted way to the right, and they're focused on managing every workload inside of a consistent platform using a baseline. Well, now there's a little bit more flexibility. And you may see that some parts of cloud operations are more baseline platform operations focused. Others are very workload focused. And so that shift, that flexibility is what enables the paradigm shift that we're seeing in IT ops.
Now, I know in the past, Brian, I've asked you about some customer real scenarios that you can share along this storyline. Have you got any stories that you could maybe share with us in terms of how other customers have dealt with operations in the cloud?
Yeah, absolutely. And just like with your strategy, your motivations and what you want to do is really important how you want to operate. So I was working with a very large bank who can't talk about publicly, but they went through a number of really visible security breaches, like a lot of companies have. And for them, their strategy was all about keeping things safe. They were more concerned with the security of their customers than maintaining pace of innovation. So for them, this type of model didn't make a lot of sense. They couldn't really quickly go to a cloud center of excellence. So for them, cloud operations was shifted way to the right on the spectrum. And it was really a central IT function. And they still had those barriers in place. A separate customer in the retail space, they've had security issues in the past, but they weren't as important anymore because we've established good security perimeters, good governance guardrails. And now they start looking to the future of saying, how can we innovate quickly? So for this, with this customer, they decided to move more of their operations way over to the left and become more of a workload-centric operations team and focus on enabling innovation over protection and control. Now, the reality is most of the customers I work with aren't on either of these two extremes. They're somewhere in the middle where they have some parts of operations that are central, some parts of operations that are decentralized. And that really helps them find the balance. But we can share more of those stories as we go through the conversation today.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. If an organization is actually looking to get started with their operations in the cloud, where do they actually begin? Is there a set pattern for them to start with?
Yeah. So just like any transformation, operations transformations takes time, but we like to try to keep it as simple as we can and start with a very easy step of just get a management baseline in place. This makes sure that you have the minimum protections that you need across all of the assets you have in the cloud. But then from there, really building out the right business commitments and using those business commitments to expand the management baseline and start to get into more of those advanced operations and richer design principles. And so this four-step process gives you a controllable path or plan that you can follow to really evolve your IT operations in the cloud.
In terms of those business commitments, is there any criteria that an organization can use to define them that may help them?
Yeah, for sure. So when we look at the Cloud Adoption Framework's managed methodology, that's actually what we start with is the business commitments on the top here. We'll oftentimes deploy that management baseline first, but when we get into really using it, we start to look at all of the workloads in the portfolio as a holistic collection. And what we're doing is comparing those for criticality to find out which ones are deemed more critical by the business. And this gives us a relative value of where should we prioritize investments in operations management. Then we validate that with impact, understanding what's the real-time value metric of any kind of disruption to performance or downtime. And what that means is we're looking at if this application's down for a few minutes, does it cost a lot of money? In that banking scenario, for instance, if they lost their core banking application, money stops flowing and it costs millions of dollars. Well, if they lose the application that manages their turnstiles in front of their doors, maybe that's not as important. So it doesn't need as much of an investment. And so we use those type of metrics to really get fine-grained on where do you want to make investments and where are the returns, which lead to the commitments. And this helps IT figure out, are we paying for these operations or are you paying for them for anything that goes above and beyond the baseline?
So thinking about that baseline, what is the actual goal of setting the baseline? What's the purpose of that, Brian?
Yeah, great question. So when we look at the operations baseline, we have to look at the holistic view of the portfolio. So inside of your portfolio, you probably have some of those really important workloads that we talked about up here on the upper right that need a lot. They're going to have high SLAs. They're going to have a lot of support, maybe even a dedicated operations teams. But other things that you have may not need as much. So the operations baseline is designed to create a stable frame for all of the things that you have and find out what that's enough for. So in this operations baseline, what we're really looking for is a couple of key characteristics that we can provide to all of those different assets.
So thinking about the baseline, right, there's obviously a lot to that. Could you maybe tell us a bit more about what that actually looks like?
Yeah, definitely. So when we look at the baseline, it focuses on three primary areas. For every single asset you have in the cloud, we want to give you inventory and visibility so that you can see what's going on and monitor. We want to make sure that things are patched, tuned, and optimized, so operational compliance. And we want to make sure that you've got basic protections in place so that everything can be recovered through some sort of BCDR plan. So making sure that you have these three disciplines really well-baked for every single asset that you own, that's the principle of an operations baseline.
So thinking back to something you mentioned earlier on, and that's that SLA. Now, I think we've probably all worked in environments where there's always a workload that maybe needs more than the minimum SLA, rightly or wrongly, Brian. What about, what do you have to do if there's something that needs more than the normal kind of SLA that you might have?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different options. It really depends on what you really need from that and what you're trying to improve. So like we talked about before, you could improve those high profile workloads, or you could see that maybe it's not the individual workloads that need the SLA. Maybe it's that a collection of workloads with a common tech platform dependency are what need the improved SLA. Or maybe it's that your operational requirements are higher in a particular region. So depending on where you need that improvement, you've got a couple of different options there.
Awesome. Now, kind of going back into the operations part of it, if you need to improve operations for every workload, what's the options for the customer?
Great question. So that's what we refer to as an enhanced baseline. So those three pieces we talked about give you the foundation, but what we commonly see in customer bases is that they need a little bit more, because that's just a generic baseline the way we've defined it today. So this enhanced baseline, commonly it's used to cover a particular Azure region or subscription that needs more. We'll also see people apply it to all of their operations and enhance the entire baseline. So those are both options there. So when you're doing something that impacts all assets evenly, that's the enhanced baseline. So things that we see there are improvements like turning on service change tracking, so you can see if there's changes to a service you've deployed, or things like ITSM integration. So maybe you've got an existing ops management tool that you use on-prem, and you want to make sure that anything that happens in this environment is reported back to that. Or other things are things like automating some degree of operations. Like if you have common behaviors that you see across everything, like if the server goes down, I want to turn it back on. Or if this dev environment isn't used for so long, I want to shut it off. You know, those type of behaviors are things that you can generally enhance and apply throughout your environment. So we call that an enhanced baseline.
Thinking to the kind of platform area, what happens if you have to improve operations for a certain platform? You know, thinking about, you know, if it's SQL is the platform, how do you improve all of that, Brian?
Yeah, great. So if we're looking at just this upper quadrant, platform operations, that's another option for expanding the baseline, where we get really specialized in the platform itself. So what we'll see there are a number of different improvements that you could make, like improving the general deployment or the in general environmental configuration for that technology platform, or following best practices for deployment of the platform itself, as well as a number of operational practices specific to that platform. And the key thing to note here is we look at platform specialization when we're centralizing that solution and we're making it available to multiple workloads to kind of use a rising tide to float all those boats up. But it's really just focusing on that one critical dependency they all share, the technology platform, like SQL, WVD, AKS, those sort of things.
So in terms of the baseline, are there any scenarios where you might have to go above that baseline, that minimum viable product, Brian?
Oh, totally. Yeah, we see that all the time. And it could be that you're enhancing the whole thing and that's how you go above. It could be the platform, or it could be that it is more of that workload specialization that you need. And when we're in this quadrant over here, this is when you have to get really close to the architecture. And you need people that know the workload and can re-architect how the workload itself operates. So we have a complementary framework that works in conjunction with this methodology called the well-architected framework. And we make that scope shift from all of the things we own to this one thing that's really important. That's when we switch over to the well-architected framework as a central source of guidance. And you'll see the same principles, the same type of things that we talk about, but at a different scope, a different elevation. And then that allows you to go deeper on the needs of a specific workload, including a well-architected review that you can use to really evaluate that workload and find different ways that you can improve that SLA and provide operational excellence for that workload itself.
Now, just going back to some of the customer scenarios I've had, there's often been a workload that's super specialized, Brian, and probably goes beyond even that extended baseline that you mentioned earlier on. Is that right in the cloud? Is there scenarios there where we have to go even beyond that baseline?
There always are. Yeah, the scenarios we see are ones like we mentioned earlier, like inside of a bank. Your banking application is one that you can't make mistakes on. You've got to do it right, and you've got to get to that workload level to really have the right degree of operations to support those workloads. And that doesn't change in the cloud. Now, we have more automated tools to handle the other things, like the basic workloads that you have out there. But any of these special workloads that are mission critical, they're extremely costly. Maybe they have more sensitive information than other workloads do. You know, any of those type of workloads, those are the ones that we want to use that well-architected framework for. And whether you're on-prem or in the cloud, those are always there. And you can't get away from them.
That's awesome, Brian. One last question. Where would our customers go to get more information? Where can they go to get started?
So the key starting point for this is inside of the Cloud Adoption Framework and the Manage methodology. We have an overview there that'll walk you through these four steps and help make them actionable, starting with one that gives you a best practice for implementing your own operations baseline.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Brian, and walking me through this. And thank you to everybody that's tuned into the show. We'll be sharing more information and links in the description box. So be sure to check that out and stay tuned for future episodes of the Azure Enablement Show.